Yeah, she had a comment about which she's reading In Love Without End in The Beloved.
Great. I heard most of that, but it was not recorded. So, Judy, I would love for you to say that again.
Okay, thank you. This week we're talking about The Beloved on Wednesday. And so I was sitting with that today, and what really stood out was, in simplicity, in our unity, we are the beloved. Love as beingness. And it was just it was perfect for Easter. Thank you.
It is perfect for Easter, and it points to the very thing that actually the apostles began speaking about after the resurrection, especially after the transcendence, when they were building congregations of people. They would make reference to the body of Christ. And that's what the body of Christ means, those united in love. Just very much like the reference that Yeshua made, when two or more are gathered in my name, there I will be also. And so, as we are joined in love, we are the beloved. And he made it also very clear in his teachings that you have only one Father, and that is Father in heaven. And he says, insofar as you are adopted by your Father in heaven, you are my brother and sister. And you are the same as me. And we are family. And I think that's also a very important thing to communicate on Easter, because it brought everyone into, everyone that was there at the event and everyone in the 2,000 years since, it has brought us all into the realization that we are all spiritually connected as one family with one Father and one Mother. And this is not just for one lifetime. Easter is an assurance of our immortal life and our transcendence. So thank you, Judy. That was great. And we have a wireless caller from 310. Hi.
Hi. Esther, can you hear me?
I certainly can. Can you hear me?
I certainly can. Thank you. I'm the person who listens to the heart is the higher intelligence over and over and over every day, thousands of times. I love that whole idea of the intelligence of the heart and the first thing being the unity. And I just wonder if there's any further instruction Jesus has ever alluded to or given about experiencing that oneness in the Sacred Heart and all of our oneness, but our oneness with God and with Him?
Well, I think the entirety of Love Without End is about that.
Yes.
The entirety of the book teaches us about the oneness, the one spirit. It teaches us about how we connect through to others through the love that we are, finding in them the love that they are. It's really the entire book of Love Without End. But in his Easter message to me, which I passed on to all of you on Sunday, we touched on it in a little different way. And that has to do with the roots of our being. I hope that you got that message, that Easter message that was sent. And if you haven't read it yet, read it before the day is over. It's such a special message for Easter, because we celebrate Easter in so many ways, all having to do with the resurrection of life or the bringing of new life or springtime, the Passover, which was the salvation of life for the Hebrew people. It's all about the saving of life, the renewal of life, and the finding of our eternal life. When Yeshua rose from the grave, he did not heal with a bandaged body that still had to grow together new tissue and heal broken bones. Now, he rose from the grave, from the living eternal soul that he is and was and will forever be. In other words, in those 3 days of death and sleeping in the tomb, he returned to the roots of his being. He was born of God and the Holy Spirit. He was brought back to life from God and the Holy Spirit. And in his transformation, in the early days of it, he makes it very clear that he was not yet solid. He told Mary Magdalene, who came to the tomb after his resurrection, "Don't touch me yet, for I am not yet back into the world." And he appeared and disappeared several times to, well, he appeared to the, out of thin air, to the, to some of the apostles on the road to Emmaus. He appeared at the dinner table, and then he disappeared. But by the time he met with the apostles, Thomas could actually touch his body and touch his wounds. In other words, he made himself perfect and solid from the soul of his being. He returned to the roots of his being and then recreated himself into a solid person. Paul speaks about that in 1 Corinthians, where he talks about our new bodies will be created as living children of God, not of the flesh made perfect, but of our origin made perfect in God. And so this message that I sent you for Easter was actually about my observation of the plants that had been killed by a deadly winter that is unlike this climate zone at all. Maybe once in 50 years, for a few hours, it will touch that low. But it was there for 6 hours, and it killed everything that couldn't survive at 25 degrees. And nothing came back from the dead branches or the twigs or even the trunk of the tree. Everything came back from the deep roots. And I wanted to give this to you as a message about your life, because all of us have had moments in life where we felt everything was destroyed. It could have been a relationship. It could have been a job. Maybe it was a career that all of a sudden became obsolete. But the way we find our way into new life is to go back to the roots of our being. That would be the love that we are, or the fundamental talent, ability that God gave us, from which we built that career that went obsolete. We're living in a world where there are full of new ideas, and some of them not at all proven. Some of them just good ideas that somebody created out of the ethers. And they come and they go. And we believe in them because we think, oh, that's something good and new. We invest in them, and then they nosedive because they're built on thin air. And then there are other people trying to create life out of dead branches, saying, just around the corner, I know this will come to life again. But let's face it, my friends, the only place a covered wagon belongs is in a museum. But everyone, and I say everyone, has roots in God. Everyone has roots in the power of life. Everyone has roots in nature. Everyone has roots in the fundamental power of love that they are. Let's all look to our roots, and in those roots, we will find our strength. And I really believe that this is something that Yeshua came to teach us. because we have to learn to forgive the branches that die. In fact, he made a really big deal out of, about that in pruning the vineyard. And I could tell you as one who owned a vineyard once, it was a 15-acre vineyard, a commercial vineyard, that had to be cared for very, very well, or there would be no production the next year. The vines had to be pruned. They had to be cut away. And we cut away so much that we built mountains of vines that were, I would say, 40 feet across at least twice as tall as I am, probably more, so that would be anywhere from 12 to 20 feet tall, and 3 acres long. That's how many vines were cut away. Sometimes we had to cut them all the way back to the trunk because we had to study the buds on the vine. We had to study what God had planned for the future. And we knew that if we left the vines that had already produced, all we would get the next year would be more vines and no production. No production of fruit at all. We had to cut it way back to where it was tapping into the trunk of the vine and gaining new life. And it's a real science. It's a real science. The same is true about fruit trees. You can't just leave them out there year after year expecting them to grow from branches that have already overproduced or perhaps been killed off by the freeze. You have to trim them way back and let the tree produce new life. This is all through the parables that Yeshua taught. And so sometimes we have to take a good, hard look at our life, what we produced. I created some of the most famous and celebrated portraits of the 20th century. When I was in my early professional youth, and they were in the Metropolitan Museum of New York, they have been shown in the Louvre, they have been shown in the Prado, they have been collected by the National Gallery, the Smithsonian Institution. I'm talking about seriously famous portraits. But since then, the photographic art of portraiture has become so refined and artistic, with the medium of transferring it to giclées on canvas over which they can be hand-painted. I would be sitting on a log waiting for business if I went back to producing original, personally inspired portraits that people sat for 20 or 30 hours. No one would want to do that anymore. But that doesn't mean that my ability is now wasted. It was turned toward understanding anatomy well enough that I can now create inspired, telepathically given portrayals of Yeshua or angels or people perhaps no longer living or imaginary people that have great poetic messages to offer us, because now I know how to flesh them out with life. You see, that's an example of me going back to my roots, but cutting off the dead branches. You all have powers of life within you. And with the world changing as fast as it is, you may just need to say goodbye to dead branches, old abilities. You may find that you don't need to live in the city anymore to make direct connections with all of the internet and the global communications that are available through digital connections. You may find that it's quite effective and much more peaceful to live in a small town or even in the country. Cut down on your cost of living. Cut down on your cost of doing business that allows you to invest money in better ways. And you may find that you can do what you were doing better, reaching more people more cost effectively. You see, the same source power, the root, is still good, but the branches need to be pruned. And that's the way it goes. And it may mean, of course, if you leave the city, you move to the country or the mountains or a small town, you're going to have to leave behind certain favorite theaters or favorite restaurants, certain favorite people. Doesn't mean you can't visit the city once a year, but life will change. You have to allow this pruning to happen and the new life to emerge. See, that's what I'm talking about, is don't just be the victim of change that makes you feel like you're sitting in a vineyard with dead branches. Cut them off. Let new life emerge. Not everybody was meant to be an oak tree. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, an oak tree, pretty much, it just sinks very deep roots, and it develops such a strong trunk and such strong branches, it withstands the winds and the hurricanes and the ups and downs of weather. It becomes what I would call nature's habitat. It really is a long-lived habitat for life. Just like the red oaks, just like the redwoods, that's what I meant to say. The redwoods and many other, well, not many, just a few of the long-lived trees that help to hold in the soil and help to be landmarks of life. There's only a few people that live just decade after decade after decade doing the same thing. And that was appointed for them by God. They have that in their constitution. They have that long, long life. And I want to give you an example of this that's very, very powerful, that's commonly overlooked in modern day research about longevity. There's so much demand for it today because the boomers, my generation and slightly younger, are living to such a ripe age at 60 and 70, still vital, wanting to hold on to our jobs and our careers and live an active life. We're really supporting and demanding things that help us live life longer. And so there's a lot of research, a lot of health research going into some small, remote countries, whether in the high Himalayas or the remote parts of Korea or Japan or China or little-known parts of India, where people live to be 100, 120. And so they study the foods and the water of these people. And they collect them up and they then make supplements out of those foods and those special ingredients. But what I want to tell you to contemplate, which is more important than all of the supplements, more important than all of the waters, is these people have stayed close to their roots. That's the real secret. They have stayed very close to their roots. And they have continued tapping into their roots over and over again. And this doesn't mean that you have to stay in your hometown. It doesn't mean you have to stay in your family. This doesn't mean you have to stay connected to things that don't support you. But it does mean you need to find out what your roots are in your ability, in your love, in those you love and those who love you. Stay connected to your root and sink a very deep taproot into the soul of your being, and you will live long. This is the one thing I see constantly when I see the anomalies and the strange reports of how people who eat fat meat and red meat and smoke and drink and still live to be 104. I look at their life, and they've lived in the same place. They've lived with their family. They've done the same thing. It may have been a cowboy their whole life or a shoemaker. They have done the same thing their whole life. They have honored their roots. Yet, so, the most destructive thing that is happening in the world today is all of this change is causing us to think we need to change our fundamental nature. And that's simply not true, and it's very destructive. You may need to change the outer ways in which you do business. You may need to change the way you conduct your relationships. You may need to change the ways in which you worship. You may need to change the ways in which you find peace within yourself. But strengthen in all of your ways the depth of your being, the roots of your being. Stay connected to God and allow that which you are to emerge over and over again from the deepest roots of your being. This is what Yeshua did on Easter Day. And from that, he lives forever and ever immortally. This is what the Apostle Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians. And once you know this secret, you can actually reread many parts of the New Testament, and you can find that this, it wasn't meant, I shouldn't say secret, because it wasn't intended to be a secret. It's just that not very many people could understand it. This special teaching was there all along. This is what we offer for you in Christ's blessing. It comes to you from the heart of God, by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit, and the love of Christ, touching you in your heart of hearts, passing through you as pure energy from heaven, into the earth, connecting you to the very taproot of your life, coming back through that root into the heart, back to heaven as many times as it is possible. And what it will do is it will strengthen the core power of your being and give you new life with which to work. Now, sometimes that may mean you're going to actually prune off a branch or two, and you're going to stop trying to make dead branches come back to life. Don't waste your energy on that. Yeshua says that over and over again in his teaching. Don't waste your energy on it. Give life unto life, but you will have more life with which to work, and you will have more wisdom with which to direct that new life, that you may create new life from the core and the center of your being. So on this holy day in which we celebrate the resurrection of life and the promise of our resurrection of life, I would like to use that as our theme today. And I would like to call the blessing givers to join me by standing, and the rest of you to be seated comfortably with all of your body parts uncrossed, including your fingers. Just relax and allow the energy to flow. Just allow the energy to flow from heaven through your heart into the earth and back to you. And I'm going to say my prayer to Yeshua now. Dear Yeshua, on this holiest of days, when you demonstrated to the world, to the angels, to eternity, the full manifestation of God and the Holy Spirit, transforming the seed of your life from a physical life into an immortal life, we ask to behold the power of that truth as it pertains to ourselves and all the miracles for which we can hope. We know that as human beings, our faith is sometimes weak, and we need to be strengthened step by step in baby steps. And we know that you are patient with us. We ask that you be with us today and give us everything that we can receive. Touch our heart, touch our life, touch our soul, and connect us with our divine source, our Heavenly Father, and our mother being, all of those who are obedient and loving unto God. We ask that you transform us into your eternal child of God. Amen. You shall begin your prayer silently, or it doesn't matter, aloud, because you're muted. And blessing givers, let's begin. Amen. Your blessing has been given. Receive in love and know that you've been loved. Now go and rest and fully receive that which you've been given. I wish you a very happy Easter and much love eternally. Bye-bye from me. Go in peace.